The Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and in the galleries please rise for the prayer by the Reverend Gok and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance.
From the 31st Psalm we hear, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand." Merciful God, we bring this first full week to an end and realize that our time is in your hand. And we hope we have used our time wisely and productively. As we head home, make us mindful of our responsibilities behind the wheel and help us to be a safe and courteous driver, aware that there are some who are not. Be with us so we may arrive home safely to enjoy our time with loved ones. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Searpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Curls, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibla, Lugtemeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
A quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, fifth day, Wednesday, January 16th, 2019. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the further reading of the journal be dispensed with and same be approved as though having been fully read.
Senator from Boone has moved that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and that the same be approved as fully read. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Boone is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Those of the opinion that the motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Introduction of special guests. Introduction of special guests. Senator from Johnson, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Inquire the senator from the 23rd.
Senator from the 23rd. I do not see him in the chamber. Sergeant of Arms, you call the senator from the 23rd. And he's in the chamber now. Senator from the 23rd, do you yield to the senator from Johnson? You may proceed.
Good morning, Senator. I was going to inquire of the senator from Andrew, but I haven't seen him in here yet, so I may, if he steps in, I may inquire him.
Are you saying that I'm your backup plan, Senator?
Well,
I was like second best?
No,
is
you weren't
that,
second
is that
best.
The application
I was
here?
I was planning on talking to you as well.
Okay.
I was planning on talking to you as well. So with the governors of the state of the state last night, I know we both have an interest in transportation and transportation needs and things like that. And so the governor came out with his proposal for $351 million in bonds to repair or replace 250 bridges across the state. Now, recently, you know, voters have shot down, I believe, two proposals. Well, I know two proposals. One, this past November, for a 10-cent a gallon increase to gas tax. And then earlier, I don't remember, a handful of years ago, they shot down another proposal. So I think the governor, I was excited that the governor did not propose another tax increase to fund our infrastructure, our roads and bridges. I think he's on the right track. What's your opinion?
Yeah, I was very, very pleasantly pleased with the comment that he made that we were going to address transportation for moving forward without additional tax increases or fees. I think that's a message that I've been trying to put out for the past 2 years. I think the governor will be a great support to that particular message. But more than that, I really applaud the governor for continuing to bring visibility to the issue of transportation and infrastructure funding, which has eluded this chamber, regardless of where you fall on this issue, for long before you and I were in this chamber. So I really think it's a positive development. The governor has engaged from the moment he took office, he engaged on this issue. And I think what you saw last night was a continuation of his commitment to make sure that we have the right roads and bridges system in the state of Missouri so that we can continue to get to our jobs, our homes, and each other's as it relates to the quality of our roads. So I'm really pleased with the direction he's going. Now, he's proposed, I think, you said $350 million of bonding authority, is that right?
Yeah, $350 million in bonds to replace about 250 bridges across the state. My understanding is that those are already on the plan, and so by kind of a shot in the arm with this $350 million, then that would free up $350 million that MoDOT was planning on spending on those bridges over the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so that $350 million would be freed up to work on another project. So basically, you know, I guess, and I haven't heard all the details, most certainly, but it looks like, you know, if you take $350 million from now, the $350 million that they were planning on spending over the next 5 years, it looks like we'd have about $700 million to be spent on bridges and other transportation infrastructure projects across the state over the next 5 years.
Well, and I don't want to, you know, we've just been handed this information in the past 24 hours. I think it's important not to make any big snap judgments about what ultimately we're going to pass to the chamber. This is a move in the right direction since we've kind of ended the conversation about increasing taxes and fees. As far as spending more money through a bonding appropriation, really all I can say right now is another conversation that's come up through the legislature is how do we also restore accountability to MoDOT from the legislature. You know, I think there's been a sense in both chambers, really, that MoDOT operates kind of outside the authority of the legislature with the system that we have in place. So probably some of the answer is trying to address that concern.
Yes.
Maybe some of the answer is also addressing the size and scope of MoDOT. I don't know that answer. I just throw that out there because this is something, again, I've been saying for the past couple years. But I think that last night shouldn't be viewed as anything other than a very positive step by the governor of our state. I think he's on the right track. I really look forward to engaging with him on this issue moving forward. I know you and I have talked about this issue. We have our pro tem has been very engaged on that issue as well and has spoke at length at how important this is for the state. I just think this is a really positive development.
I do as well. I echo your sentiments. I think the governor's definitely on the right track, and I applaud him for taking on infrastructure, you know, roads and bridges and other infrastructure projects as one of his main priorities, and look forward to a continued discussion as we hear more about the details of this bonding program and what would be funded, what wouldn't be funded with that extra, if this bonding were to go through and we were to agree with that, what additional projects that had already been earmarked with that $350 million over the next 5 years, what additional projects would be funded?
Right, absolutely. And we have, I think you and I can both speak to projects that we know that are very important to our districts and to the state as a whole that we'll continue that conversation going.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, most certainly. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Barton, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Are we still on the order of introduction of guests?
We are. Introduction of special guests.
All right, I would like to introduce a special guest.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm going to have to introduce my special guest in absentia because I don't think he has made it here yet, but today's doctor of the day is from Nevada, which is a city that I serve in Vernon County. Dr. Warren Lovinger has been serving the public there for many years. He actually was my mother's doctor while she was alive, and I'm pleased that Dr. Levenger is willing to come year after year and serve us here in the Senate as the doctor of the day. So I don't know that we have to applaud him since he's not here, but I did want to get him into the record. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Introduction of special guests. Senator from Franklin, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, could I inquire from the Senator from the 23rd?
The Senator of the 23rd has, we'll wait till he proceeds to his desk. Senator from the 23rd, the Senator from Franklin has inquired. Do you yield?
I do, Mr. President. Thank you.
You may proceed.
Morning, Senator.
Morning, Senator.
I just briefly want to, touch on the conversation that you had with Senator Johnson a little bit. Obviously, someone that has been involved in this issue for basically my whole time in the legislature over the past 8 years, I've been involved trying to decide how we solve our transportation needs and issues. I want to point out a couple very important points that in this conversation, while I do agree that what the governor has done is taking a step in the right direction, because obviously we have a multitude of bridges that are in need of replacement or repair. And the investment that we will make into those bridges through this opportunity will be directly taking a bonding. People can see the direct benefit from that. We've seen a number of bridges that were put on there that be very specific to the ones that are going to be taken care of. And it's also something I had just recently had a bridge opening in my district over Highway 47, Missouri River, in Washington, Missouri. And standing on that bridge, we were looking at the old bridge that was there that was built in 1938. That bridge served that area from 1938 to 2018 when it was time for it to be retired. And so those bridges that we're talking about replacing, they're going to be built for approximate life expectancy between 50 to 100 years. So a bonding opportunity to replace those bridges are going to be something that far beyond when those bonds are paid off, those bridges are still going to be standing and people are going to still be utilizing those bridges. So I think that's an important point we want to point out when we talk about the fact of bonding and going through this process and doing that. But I want to point out as well, the fact of the matter still remains that while this is an investment, an opportunity for us to address those issues, this does not solve our transportation funding needs. Even though the voters rejected the fact of a tax increase, we still face the same problems that we faced when we went to the voters in November. The fact that I think that our message wasn't clearly communicated, there's reasons why, but we had a lot of support for that particular issue, and I still think that we're going to have a conversation in the future of how we fund our roads going forward. This will not solve the problems that the state of Missouri has when it comes to transportation. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. In fact, Senator, sometimes I feel like you and I have talked so much about transportation, we're missing some of the other issues in the state, but we've talked about the fact that, the gas tax is currently our most direct route of funding our roads and bridges. But as we've talked about, cars are getting more fuel efficient. So the expectation, it may be that we can't rely on that particular funding mechanism to fund our roads and bridges moving forward. So we're going to have to figure out something else over the long term. I concur with that 100%, Senator. And I think your words are really well spoken here. This is a solution that the governor has helped put on the table that's going to help some of our most needy bridges. And we talk about bridges. I have an overpass in my district. Actually, excuse me, it's not in my district. It's actually in the senator from the seconds. It's in my county, but not my district. Right where I-70 and I-40 come together, it's the biggest bottleneck of the entire state. The traffic jams from that interchange stretch into my district. And so it's a major thoroughfare for commercial and personal traffic in the state, not just our district, but the state. So I am committed I would say this for our colleagues here, I'm committed to helping find a solution for infrastructure. It's something that I think, regardless of what area of the state that you represent, you have constituents that believe this is one of the top priorities that we ought to be addressing. I'm committed to a solution.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to point out again some of those. Again, I wholeheartedly support what the governor's proposed. I think that as we look at that, but I want to make sure that people understand that that should not be the end of our conversation. generation, because what we are here to do as leaders is to figure out how we solve problems going forward so we can have conversations in the future of how we're going to fund roads and bridges. Because, you know, it's very simple. When you look at this from a mathematical perspective, what it takes to maintain our road system, the value in excess of $125 billion, we simply do not have enough resources coming in at the current, under the current gas tax levels or the current user fee levels we there to support the maintenance of that system. So it's a mathematical equation. So at some point in time, you either raise the bridge, I call it raising the bridge, or lowering the water. Lowering the water means less services. We experienced a snow event here last week on Friday. I happened to get caught into that snow event and spent some time on the interstate. And people's expectations of what they want MoDOT to be able to take care of and handle have increased to the point where they do not want to be inconvenienced. The expectation has changed over time because they have provided a level of service that people have come to expect. So getting the roads cleared so that transportation can get across the road. We're getting ready for another weather event today.
That's right.
And, you know, and for tomorrow. And so when people expect that level of service, when I say about lowering the water, lowering that water lowers that level of service. If we don't get the funding available to let them to maintain and take care of the road system, then the service is going to be lowered. And I don't think anybody wants to go down that path, but we have to have a tough conversation about how do we meet the needs of our transportation system in our state in the best way that we can. So I just wanted to point a couple of those things out in the conversation. But again, I support what the governor's trying to do, but I also realize that the conversation, as we will have, will continue on through this process. So,
and I would add as a tailing comment on that, Senator, even though you and I have maybe had different perspectives on transportation, I think it's important to point out that you and I have really been able to work closely together over the past couple of years, and we've had such a great relationship that we've been able to overcome a lot of different issues that where we've maybe had different perspectives. And you've entrusted me, and I thank you for a seat on the Transportation Committee to continue to have a voice. So I think it would be very important just to say that we've worked well together. I am really optimistic as we move forward.
No, I'm optimistic. Again, I think the opportunities that we have to solve, you know, these are problems, they're real problems, they do exist, and we're going to have an opportunity to be working. And as leaders, I think it's a responsibility that we have to take on to fix these problems. So in the future, somebody isn't saying, how did they get to this point and why didn't they solve that problem? So hopefully we'll be able to play a part in getting that taken care of. Thank you, Senator.
Thanks, Senator.
We are on the order of business of introduction of guests. And Senator from Johnson, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Inquire the Senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
I certainly do.
You may proceed.
President. Hey, good morning. Good morning, Senator.
How are you this morning?
Great. How are you?
I am just peachy.
Good.
Just
good.
Ready to get
always,
after it?
Always glad to hear when the approach chair is feeling peachy.
You bet. Yeah.
So yesterday we heard some news and huh? the Crossroads Correctional Center is actually in your district.
It's very close to your district.
Very close to mine. And in fact, I have the correctional facility in Chillicothe that was actually providing a lot of the overtime workers
to the
facility.
And might I say mandatory overtime?
Yes, mandatory overtime. Yes. I have been, you know, I'm just thinking on the private sector. Maybe I have had, with being a CPA and busy season, there's times where I've been told that, hey, I must work 50 billable hours this week or 60 billable hours. So, but probably, I'm sure, nothing like this. But what I thought that was great news that was shared yesterday. What was your opinion, Senator?
You know, Senator, we have been concerned about the staffing of both those facilities.
Right.
Many of us met with them, and I know you've been in contact with your constituents that work there. You've
yes.
heard the concerns too about the reduced staffing, the inability to get staff in there. We've not paid well enough to attract new staff to come in, and we haven't recognized the long-term commitments that some of the older staff have had, and they have taken other opportunities to move on. So we have had understaffing and somewhat chronic understaffing issues
yes.
going on there. So heard that, appealed to the director of corrections, appealed to the governor as well, to try to find a way to address these concerns. Because quite honestly, it's a safety concern.
Yes, very
and
much
a security
so.
Concern, not only for the community, but most in particularly for the officers and the staff and the personnel that work with the inmates on a daily basis. So I think that this, the fact that we can't attract them in, and the fact that the population is down well enough that we could consolidate these facilities, I think it is a great thing. We're doing some good things right. for the correctional officers.
Right.
Raising their salaries, nobody's going to lose a job. Everybody will have opportunity to continue working with corrections if they care to do that. And I think that's wonderful. I think these are the things we've been having. The governor addressed our concerns.
Yes.
And I was happy that he heard.
Right, right. Most certainly, you know, at first it came to a shock to me because you know what we've heard over the last 3, 4, 5 years?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we need to build another prison.
I understand that.
And to go from we need to build another prison over the last 5 years to, hey, we're closing down one of the prisons. We're not going to lay, like you said, we're not going to lay any of the workers off. They can these two prisons are next door to each other.
They are.
They're across the street from each other. And so just moving those inmates from the Crossroads facility over to the Western Missouri Correctional Center, nobody has to lose their job. The governor's proposal calls for a 3% increase for state employees, which includes the correction officers.
But even more for correction.
Yes. And then plus a 1% increase in their salary for every 2 years that they've worked there. So
that's what I call the steps.
Right.
Longevity.
Yes, the steps. Yeah. The steps. So overall, I think that it's definitely a big win-win for all of us. And then, you know, some of the other highlights of the budget they talked about was K-12 funding. Fully funding the foundation formula is what I understand. Plus another $10 million in transportation cost. I know you're from a rural district. I'm from a rural district. We have those buses travel a lot of miles. Our school districts, some of those are pretty big as far as geographic size.
Yeah.
And so to have another $10 million in there.
And it certainly helps those districts, and in particular the hold harmless districts, get some assistance with this transportation, whereas the formula districts, both of them benefit from it.
Right.
Yeah. And
right.
So that's great to that. Whereas the hold, just putting money in the formula doesn't help the hold harmless districts.
Exactly. Exactly.
This will help the hold harmless districts.
This will help all of them. And then higher education. I know you have some little university in public university in your district. I forget the name. I have University of Central Missouri in my district.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no. You're talking about the multiple national champion in football, University of Northwest Missouri State University.
Yes, I hate to say it, but yes, yeah. former national champions of football. Now, we have had the girls basketball national champion last year, and then we've had the men's basketball champion, but we haven't had a football championship.
Absolutely.
Yet. We're working on that.
Yeah, it's good to see money there.
It is, and my understanding, and I know the budget just came out last night, and I have not had a chance to read all the executive summaries and things like that, but is it flat funding for higher education? Have you had a time to dive into that any? Or
that's my understanding.
Okay.
It's just flat.
Okay.
But we do have the MOEC sales program that will look at trying to provide some assistance on specific project.
Right.
I am still trying to discern how far down that list. I think 24 projects there. The original price was much greater than what the governor put in. I think he put 16,000-ish in for that. I don't know how far that takes us down that list and a prioritized list.
Right.
I'm delving into that right now.
Well, and I know they talked about a fast-track program, and I don't have all the details on that, but it sounds like if you're over 25 years old, your household income. Now, your household, if you're a single male or single female, that could just be you, or if you have a family, under $80,000, if you make under $80,000, that you would qualify for free tuition, quote, free tuition assistance for 2 years. They projected, I think, 16,000 more students. I mean, obviously, if 16,000 more students come in to the and go to community college, VOTEC school, or public, or, universities, that's going to be a shot in the arm, definitely as far as for the universities and tech schools and community college, because more students means more revenue, obviously, to those. So I'm interested in seeing, you know, learning more about that as we go through the process. And then,
and in regards to that, you know, the A-plus program still adding some additional dollars to the A-plus program, keep that program strong and going well. And that's wonderful. So a lot of wonderful things included in the governor's recommendation.
Yes. And then the last thing I just want to mention, I was also excited to see that Governor Parsons' budget included cutting 430 government positions through attrition. Now, I'm a big believer that I think We have great state employees. Okay. However, I think that we do have a bloated state government when we compare to other states. And, you know, we have 92 state employees for every 10,000 people. Now, this is a couple years old. 92 Missouri state employees for every 10,000 population. Okay. And then surrounding states like Indiana has 46 state employees for every 10,000 people. Illinois has 47 state employees for every 10,000 people. And Ohio has 55 state employees for every 10,000 people. So I'm excited that the governor and his staff are taking a look at trying to cut those positions. That's something that I'm interested in as well. And hope that I can work with you and we can look at those FTEs and see where we can reduce the what I consider the bloated size of state government.
Senator, I am excited about that opportunity. I know you've been a hawk on this, on these FTEs in the past, and continue to like to move forward. I look forward to working with you. It's great that the governor is engaged on that too,
yes.
Reducing the size of state government in that capacity. Long have I thought that departments have hidden dollars in FTEs that they never plan on filling.
That's right.
And so I know you have done that when you were in the House, and you took an effort to really scale that in and get after that. I welcome that. And I look forward to working with you
and continuing that.
And it's great that we have a governor that's also same mind.
Exactly. It's great to have a governor that's of the same mind. Overall, you know, I'm like you. I'm still trying to dive into the budget. And, you know, I look forward to our further discussions in Senate Appropriations Committee.
Thank you, Senator.
We are on the order of business. Introduction of guests. Petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. Senator from the 22nd, for what purpose do you rise? Send the bill forward.
I use more than one doorman. Yes. I have to.
And Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 268, introduced by Senator Whelan, an act relating to the means by which public notice is required to be published.
Senator, do you care to explain the bill? Okay, thank you. Introduction of bills. Senator from the 23rd, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have a bill.
Please send the bill forward. Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 269, introduced by Senator Igel, an act relating to low-income housing tax credits.
Senator, do you care to explain the bill?
No explanation necessary.
Thank you, sir. Senator from Newton, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have a very small bill to submit.
Please send that bill forward.
And no discussion is necessary, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. And Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 270, introduced by Senators White and Crawford, an act relating to court costs.
Senator from Barton, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have three bills.
Please send those three bills forward.
No explanation necessary, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 271, introduced by Senator Emery, an act relating to charter schools.
Please read the next bill.
Senate Bill number 272, introduced by Senator Emery, an act relating to reimbursement for special education.
And please read the final bill.
Senate Bill number 273, introduced by Senator Emery, an act relating to video service providers.
Introduction of bill. Senator from Barry, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. You're doing a wonderful job up there.
Thank you for that inappropriate comment.
You're quite welcome anytime. I have two bills to present.
Please send those bills forward. And Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 274, introduced by Senator Sater, an act relating to Board of Pharmacy pilot programs.
Please read the next bill. Senator from Barry, would you care to explain that bill?
No explanation on that one.
Thank you. Please read the next bill.
Senate Bill number 275, introduced by Senator Sater, an act relating to prescribing authority of dentists.
And Senator, would you care to explain that bill?
Yes, Mr. President. This is a continuation on our fight against opioid abuse, and this is what this bill entertains. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Introduction of bills. Senator from Franklin, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, could you please refer SCR 6 and SCR 7 to Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics?
They will be so referred. Senator from Boone.
President, I have a bill.
Please send that bill forward. And Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 276, introduced by Senator Rowden, an act relating to civil actions to recover damages for unlawful merchandising practices.
Senator, do you care to explain that bill?
No explanation necessary. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator from Dallas, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have one bill.
Please send that bill forward.
No explanation needed.
Thank you. And Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 277, introduced by Senator Crawford, an act relating to child support enforcement.
Introduction of bills. The chair has a bill. It's already at the dais. Secretary, would you please read that bill?
Senate Bill number 278, introduced by Senator Wallingford, an act relating to public water fluoridation.
And no explanation is necessary. Introduction of bills. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the benefit of the body, we are about to go to the order of business of second reading of Senate bills. Everyone is more than welcome to stay and listen, but there will be no further action necessary for the totality of the body. With that, Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of second reading of Senate bills.
Hearing no objection, the second reading of Senate bills. Senator from Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to begin the process of second reading bills, and so we'll start with Senate Bill 1.
Senate Bill 1, an act relating to expungement of certain criminal records.
Judiciary and civil and criminal jurisprudence. Senate Bill 2.
Senate Bill 2, an act relating to medical marijuana license and certificate applicants.
Small business and industry. Senate Bill 3.
Senate Bill 3, an act relating to abandoned real property in certain cities.
Judiciary and civil and criminal jurisprudence. Senate Bill 4.
Senate Bill 4, an act relating to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
Seniors, families, and children. Senate Bill 5.
Senate Bill 5, an act relating to the petition process for amending the law.
Local government and elections. Senate Bill 6.
Senate Bill 6, an act relating to controlled substances.
Health and pensions. Senate Bill 7.
Senate Bill 7, an act relating to civil procedure.
Government reform. Senate Bill 8.
Senate Bill 8, an act relating to required minimum prison sentences.
Judiciary and civil and criminal jurisprudence. Senate Bill 9.
Senate Bill 9, an act relating to impeachment trials.
Judiciary and civil and criminal jurisprudence. Senate Bill 10.
Senate Bill 10, an act relating to the minimum wage rates required to be paid to employees.
Small business and industry. Senate Bill 11.
Senate Bill 11, an act relating to Medicaid per diem reimbursement rates.
Appropriations. Senate Bill 12.
Senate Bill 12, an act relating to charges for the service of court orders.
Judiciary and civil criminal jurisprudence. Senate Bill 14.
Senate Bill 14, an act relating to child custody arrangements.
Seniors, families, and children. Senate Bill 15.
Senate Bill 15, an act relating to the operation of motor vehicles while using electronic devices.
Transportation, infrastructure, and public safety. Senate Bill 16.
Senate Bill 16, an act relating to workforce incentive grants.
Education. Senate Bill 17.
Senate Bill 17, an act relating to the public school retirement system of Missouri.
Health and pensions. Senate Bill 18.
Senate Bill 18, an act relating to gubernatorial appointments.
Government reform. Senate Bill 19. Mr. President, could we get some order here, please?
Please. To the side. So we can hear the second reading of the bills. Thank you.
I believe we're on Senate Bill 19. Mm-hmm. Senate Bill 19.
Senate Bill 19, an act relating to certain crimes against emergency service providers.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety. Senate Bill 20.
Senate Bill 20, an act relating to the expiration of a court surcharge for deposit in the DNA profiling analysis fund.
Transportation, infrastructure, and public safety. Senate Bill 21.
Senate Bill 21, an act relating to a public safety sales tax.
Local government and elections. Senate Bill 22.
Senate Bill 22, an act relating to discovery in criminal cases.
Judiciary and civil and criminal jurisprudence. Senate Bill 23.
Senate Bill 23, an act relating to firearms restraining orders.
Transportation, infrastructure, and public safety. Senate Bill 24.
Senate Bill 24, an act relating to the transfer of prisoners.
Transportation, infrastructure, and public safety. Senate Bill 25.
Senate Bill 25, an act relating to elementary and secondary education.
Education. Senate Bill 26.
Senate Bill 26, an act relating to campaign finance disclosure requirements.
Rules, joint rules, resolutions, and ethics. Senate Bill 27.
Senate Bill 27, an act relating to Mo Health Net Services.
Health and Pensions, Senate Bill 28.
Senate Bill 28, an act relating to low-income housing tax credits.
Economic Development, Senate Bill 29.
Senate Bill 29, an act relating to reimbursement allowance taxes.
Appropriations, Senate Bill 30.
Senate Bill 30, an act relating to the admissibility of failure to wear a safety belt as evidence in certain civil actions.
Government reform. Senate Bill 31.
Senate Bill 31, an act relating to malpractice insurance.
Insurance and banking. Senate Bill 32.
Senate Bill 32, an act relating to repealing the death penalty.
General laws. Senate Bill 33.
Senate Bill 33, an act relating to state colleges and universities' grievance procedures.
Education. Senate Bill 34.
Senate Bill 34, an act relating to coroners.
Professional registration, Senate Bill 35.
Senate Bill 35, an act relating to certain offenders of sex crimes.
Judiciary and civil and criminal jurisprudence, Senate Bill 36.
Senate Bill 36, an act relating to real estate licensees.
Professional registration, Senate Bill 37.
Senate Bill 37, an act relating to the offense of promoting prostitution.
Judiciary and civil and criminal jurisprudence, Senate Bill 38.
Senate Bill 38, an act relating to the employer-employee relationship.
Small business and industry, Senate Bill 39.
Senate Bill 39, an act relating to the carrying of firearms on public transportation systems.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety, Senate Bill 40.
Senate Bill 40, an act relating to the storage of firearms.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objections, announcements. Announcements. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 4 p.m. on Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019.
You've heard the motion by the Senator of Boone. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate stands adjourned until 4 p.m. Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019 A.D.